Welcome to On Course, the teaching ministry of Pastor Hart Ramsey, where we offer simple biblical insight into some of life's most pressing issues.
What if I told you that a lot of the pain and difficulty and adversity you're experiencing is simply God aligning your now so you could be prepared for your tomorrow?
Prepare for the next few minutes to be encouraged, enlightened, and inspired. Let's join Pastor Ramsey and get on course. What's going on, family? It has been a minute. I know, but we are officially back. Welcome to On Course with Hart Ramsey. We call these sessions Heart to Heart. Of course, it's where you get to hear from the heart of God by way of the man of God through these great conversations. I'm Gerard Bonner from All Things Bonnerfied, but you're not here to hear me. You are here to hear the man with whom this podcast is named after. It has been a long time. Pastor Hart Ramsey, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good, man. It's been a long time for real, man. Yeah. And I'm behind the camera so I can see. But how you been?
Man, I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Just, you know, pressing through, getting to the end of this year, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's been a thing. A lot of people have been describing 2023 with a lot of interesting adjectives. There's been a lot that's happened. Some would say extremely good and extremely bad. Yeah. I guess we can start by asking, you know, how would you describe the year that's been 2023?
A lot.
Yes. Yes. That would be accurate.
Every year seems to divide up into different phases or stages or just different offerings, so to speak. Yeah. And 2023 started out kind of like it kind of eased in the room, you know, kind of a little quietly. And then as the year continued on, it got louder and louder and louder to the point now where it's actually giving us a preview of 2024. So, you know, it was a lot.
Yeah, a lot is accurate. And it's funny because I was thinking as we were preparing for this, you know, coming into 2020, we had kind of our ideas of what would happen. And then when the pandemic happened, you know, going into 2021, I think this podcast was one of the voices that was really helping people figure out how do we navigate all of this, because it was a lot to try to figure out. As we've gone through 2023, there have been some hits and misses. And like you said, it's been a lot. So the question is, when we're starting to describe 2023, we'll kind of break it into wins and, I hate to use the word losses, but yeah, you'll get what I'm saying. So let's start. What in 2023 served as a win for you?
Well, to be honest with you, 2023 is a blur.
And so, that's fair.
So for 2023 for me was a series of goals being met. And so a lot of it was work. And so the wins for me was setting benchmarks and meeting them, establishing boundaries that were necessary to kind of protect and to promote what we're going to do in the future. For me personally, of course, we didn't do as many podcasts because I found myself kind of like being spread thin. And if I would say anything to anyone, it's coming to the end of the year. One of the things that I did do was I was able to put things in place to make sure that 2024 is not the blur and the potential burnout year that 2023 was.
Yeah. Now that's actually really, really good, because I think what happens is we get trapped in this whole idea of accomplishments.
Yeah.
And we got to be in 5 million places, and we end up spreading ourselves so thin until burnout really becomes an issue. And I think that's a great description of this year. So benchmarks, those kinds of things were accomplished, putting things in place to prevent the kind of burnout that can happen in 2024. What were the challenges in this year? Because it feels like there were a lot of them.
So they were. And so I'm speaking personally more than generally. And for me, I don't know if this is across the board, but it's finding the right connections. And we don't think enough, we don't talk enough about being connected to the right people, having the right people to help you, having the right people to pour into. I think that it comes down to connections for me, is that one of the things that I saw was that not everyone is ready for the level of connection they desire. So what it did for me was it made me have to reassess, and I consider those losses, because to me, I love, I'm an introvert, but I love serving people. I love working with people. And when you get to my age, what I'm trying to do is to invest and to pour into as many people as possible. And so like this year, 2023, we did my first Lifeline Live intensive. I ended up just making it like a mastermind kind of deal. We celebrated 40 years.
Yes.
Ministry. So there was these things were wins. They were accomplishments. They were benchmarks or milestones that we celebrated. But then the losses were just people not understanding. And I want to extend that statement and say this, that it seems like more and more we get into a place where people don't understand the value of relationship capital. The value of equity in relationships, the value of integrity and different things that come in relationships. So what I had to do in 2023 was to, most of the losses were the losses that I decided on. I got to cut this. I got to stop that. And the losses were calculated losses to make room for what's to come.
Wow. Yeah. That's about processing that, because there was a lot to that. Generally, I think when we think of losses, we think of things that were taken from us as opposed to things that we gave away for the benefit of what could be in the future. Help some people who might get stuck in trying to define or describe the year based on the last 2-3 months as opposed to the whole year. How can a person really make a healthy assertion and a healthy definition of what this last year has been?
I think for most of us, we stick to certain metrics. Every year we start up by saying the year is going to be wonderful. The Lord prophesied all these things. By the end of the year, we're drained.
Yes.
I think what has to happen to all of us, and Facebook is really good at this, it'll bring you up memories.
Oh, yes.
And here's what, if you pay attention, here's what you'll find. At the same time of the year, almost every year, probably for the last decade, you're going through the same thing.
Wow.
So it's not so much that, like the, you speak of the last quarter, the fourth quarter, every season of the year, just like in the life of plants, just in the life of in the earth, the spring comes at a certain time. Summer and fall and winter, there's seasons that are scheduled for certain things to develop and certain things to die. Mm-hmm. And I think in our lives, it's like that over and over again on different levels, going higher and higher or lower and lower. And it's up to us to kind of discern what they are and then make the adjustments, right? And so what happens to us is we'll say like this, in the fourth quarter of this year, you know, I suffered some losses. But if you go back and look at the fourth quarter of every year, you don't suffer losses, but the leaves fall off the tree.
Right.
And that's what's happening. You say, well, people are leaving, things are leaving. No, I'm losing. No, it's not so much losing. It's the season you're in. And the season is for that. Right. And so, for example, you know, going back to what you said about sometimes we'll think that if something is taken from us, it's a loss. But if we let it go, it's not. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, he said, the things that were gained to me, I have counted them loss so I could gain Christ. So what he was doing, he's saying, I schedule losses. I'll look at a thing, I assess its value, then I will say, this is a loss, I'm gonna cut it off so I can have room for something else. And that's, to me, what we sometimes misdiagnose a year, or misassess a year based on what happened. So in the last quarter of this year, if you look, man, we start getting news of different things, even in the media, and different things that are huge, and there's war going on, and all these things are going on. And we're thinking to ourselves, oh man, this is terrible. But if you go back and just take a minute and go back and assess October to December of the last 10 years, the last 20 years, there's nothing different, just different events, right? But it's the season for it. Yeah. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about seasons, Gerard, but I don't think that I really don't believe that we honor the reality that seasonal experiences are real. They're real, yes. Right?
Yes. Oof.
Yes. Yeah, so
I can get ahead. Please.
So I think what happens to us is that even in our own lives, there's certain things that, like, when right before I go into a new thing, right before I start a new venture, God called me to something new, I always get the same exact kind of attacks. Same spirits, different faces, but it's the same type of attack that will come. And so I'm learning now, because I've learned to kind of look back in a linear fashion and go, oh, I can line these things up and realize this has been happening in different levels. And so now I can predict what's going to happen based on what has happened in the past, because it's just happening at a different level, going higher. Yeah.
Wow. That's good. And that, for me, that is big, because being an analytical thinker, I pay attention to patterns and time frames and that kind of thing. And that really makes a lot of sense, because you're right. We tend to be prisoners of the moment. And because we are prisoners of the moment, we seem to only remember the last 30 days, not even 60 days or 90 days, you know, the last 30 days. And so we will go, oh my God, this was horrible. Oh my God, this is terrible. And we forget, okay, well, January was different and February was different. And then this happened and then this happened. And this is, to your point, a season, which means it's not designed to happen forever. You know, it's not designed to do that. You said, I wrote this down because when you said it, I was like, ooh, you said, I schedule losses.
Yeah.
Dig into that, because I think one of the challenges as believers is we never talk about losses. Yeah. We never prepare for losses. It sounds negative. And maybe, you know, because historically we've been told a lot of things, you know, in terms of trials and tribulations and challenges and things. So we have kind of talked so much about win after win after win after win, which I think there's a period for that. But this whole scheduling losses thing, I think, is really powerful. Dig into that, if you would.
So when we talk about scheduling losses, what we're talking about is the things I'm ready to let go. You know, the etymology of the word loss, it means to loosen, to ruin, to destroy. And so, for example, sowing is a loss. Yeah. The sowing part of the sowing and reaping process is a loss, because I have to be willing to part company with the seed, go through its gestation, the different things it has to go through to become a plant, to get to a certain age. So if you don't schedule those losses, that means you're not planning on a future. Right. And one of the biggest problems that we have, like, I'll give you a good example. Like for this Christmas, my wife and I decided we're going to do gifts, but I don't want any big gifts, because I have the stuff basically that I need. You know, I have the stuff basically that I need. And so what I decided to do was let's give ourselves, you know, kind of trinket gifts, the things, little things that we notice each other needs, and one thing on the list, and we got that. And the reason I didn't want any other major gift is because I didn't want to manage anything else. Because I'm making room for certain things in the future. And so when I schedule losses, I want to give this away. I want to sow that. I want to cut this off. If I'm pursuing a relationship and it's not productive, right? And the person is saying to me, I don't want that level of relationship with you. Then instead of getting angry, then count it a loss and scale it down. You don't have to amputate it, but you can scale it down to what they're comfortable with and see what that's like. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I have an idea of friendship. I believe that if you're friends, then you're going to be friends whether you're talking every day or not. If you're a true friend, you can pick up where you left off, because it's a maturity factor that says we have work to do. We have lives to live. We have families to raise. We have business ventures, right?
Right.
We're truly friends. But then there's some situations where you have to not so much amputate them, but scale them back. And you count it a loss, because it may not have been what you wanted in the beginning, but you kind of assess it and say, this is where it is. And I think that we hurt ourselves, Gerard, by not scheduling losses. Like, for example, in my backyard, there's a lot of trees. As a matter of fact, I'm here at the Atlanta home, and there's a lot of trees, right? And it's beautiful when the trees are very leaved and they're green. It's beautiful. But then it starts to turn. And when it starts to turn, we know that we're going to be seen clear through to the neighbor's properties. So every year we prepare our minds for that loss.
Okay.
Because when leaves fall and they fall, they're gonna fertilize the ground, and watch this. And then we have to prepare for our lawn service to come. And now they don't have mowers, so now they have leaf blowers.
Right.
The season changed, and so the leaf blowers are bring a different type of noise and a different type of, you see what I'm saying? So these are things We frustrate ourselves when we don't prepare for loss, when we don't schedule loss. When we are like, for example, in that situation with the lawn, we have to cut back. I don't need you blowing leaves every week. Like I need right. you cutting the lawn. So that's right. change and adjust for. And I think when I use the term loss, I'm simply talking about the adjustments that we have to make during seasons of life to continue to grow. When we don't schedule loss, we overwhelm ourselves with baggage. We keep things that don't serve us. We find ourselves in a perpetual situation where we're managing too many things, and that leads to burnout, right? And so I hope this is helping someone listening, because and sometimes, you know what God does when we don't schedule loss? God actually implements or activates the loss for us.
Wow.
He starts running stuff off and cutting stuff off and burning stuff down, and different versions of loss begins to happen for us, right?
That's huge, because it reminds me of that show Hoarders, which is hard to watch, actually. But for those who don't know, the show Hoarders shows people whose houses have seemingly shrunk because they just have stuff everywhere, things that they aren't going to use, but they somehow think they're going to use. And I tend to think that people who fall in that space are the people who don't believe they'll ever get anything else. So they hold very, very tightly to what they have, instead of the concept that you're mentioning, which is scheduling losses, which is, you know, giving things away or knowing. And I love that analogy, because you're right. The lawn care people are needed, but they're needed to do different things based on the season, you know. And to your point, the frequency with which they show up is different based on the season. You don't need someone mowing the lawn, you know, once a week in December. Like, you just don't.
You're mowing the ice. But you know, there's something you mentioned, the show Hoarders. And I was talking to my mom some time ago, and she was telling me about how hoarding could work for some people. She was talking, I went to her house one time. I said, Mom, you have all these unopened boxes.
Yeah.
And she began to talk to me about living alone. And she said what she would do is she'll go on different, you know, either app or shopping network or whatever. Yeah. And she said, oh, that's nice. I'll order some. And she starts to order stuff. She said first it was just to have gifts when it's time for our birthdays to come around. She just wraps something up that she already bought for us and send it. But she said, got to the place, and this is interesting, where emotionally she started depending on coming home to a box, because she wasn't coming home to a person.
Wow.
And that happens to a lot of people, where their life now is overwhelmed with all this stuff and all these, because they're actually medicating their loneliness by ordering stuff. And that's just one analogy of it. It could be we will allow people and things into our lives that were only good for a season, and they're not necessary now, because we've matured, or because we've grown, or because we've found the damage or the break that was in our soul. And so to me, again, you schedule loss, and I'm not encouraging you to go and amputate relationships again.
Right.
What I'm encouraging you to do is to put everything in its place. It's an order to it. And as far as hoarding is concerned, you have to see the value of letting things go. Why is your closet so full of clothes that you have not worn, will never wear again? What's in you that's making you keep it?
Yeah.
So I will get rid of stuff so I can have space for stuff. Now, in the interim, I have to deal with the psychology of the empty closet, because there used to be suits there. And at one point in my life, these suits had value. I paid a lot of money for these suits, but that season is gone.
Right.
I have to schedule a loss. And we started this by talking about the end of the year, and it's normally towards the end of the year that we start to feel the weight of the loss.
Yes.
Because if we're smart, if we're normal, I should say, whatever that normal is.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, we have been all through the year experiencing certain losses, but not, because we're moving so quickly, we've not been kind of accounting for them.
Yeah.
So you get to a certain season where life starts to slow down, even pick up. You begin to see, you know what? Okay, I'm feeling the loss. The weather's changed. It's darker longer. And now I'm feeling the weight of this loss, and it can manifest as depression. when it, I believe that it should be accepted as, man, this is just a season, because the sun is going to come up again. Winter is going to become spring again. It's just the way the world works. It's the way my world works.
More of our heart-to-heart conversation is on the way. Stay tuned. Stay connected with Pastor Hart Ramsey on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Hart Ramsey. Imagine being filled with a peace so deep that the world around you can't touch it. Pastor Hart Ramsey is on a mission to help believers understand what it means to have a healthy prayer-based relationship with God. He's doing that through his book, Seeking Answers, Finding Rest Through Prayer. In this book, you'll learn how to ensure your relationship with God is based on a new and improved covenant, which dangerous prayer habits to avoid, and what to do when prayer doesn't yield the answers you want. It's time to trust God enough to make your prayer life truly about Him. Pick up your copy of Seeking Answers, Finding Rest Through Prayer from Hart Ramsey today. Available now on Amazon, iTunes, and wherever books are sold.
Why, yeah!
Have you subscribed to Hart Ramsey's Uplift? It's his national text message service where daily you can hear from the heart of God by way of the man of God, Pastor Hart Ramsey. To receive this daily encouragement, text the word UPLIFT to the number 334-310-4278. Again, text the word UPLIFT to the number 334-310-4278. Uplift your spirit, encourage your heart, and empower your walk. Subscribe today to Hart Ramsey's UPLIFT. Do you love this podcast? There are several ways you can show it. You can share your love for this podcast on the socials and use the hashtag OnCourseHartRamsey or Heart to Heart. That's H-A-R-T, the number 2, H-E-A-R-T. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and now you can find us on Spotify. So if you rock with Spotify, it's an easy way to access us. Search for On Course with Hart Ramsey and subscribe. Thank you so much for your continued support, and keep listening to On Course with Hart Ramsey. Let's go back into today's heart-to-heart conversation featuring Pastor Hart Ramsey.
Yeah. So to that, and I think this is good, because as we're at the end of the year, and it's so funny, I think the way my brain has been working lately, I've become accustomed to everybody deciding, hey, you know what? Next year is going to be an incredible year. Oh my God, all these things. And we aren't in that space yet. Right. Yeah. So for the person who is looking for some hope to go into this new year, because 2023 has taken a lot out of them, what do you say in terms of helping people find the hope to go into the new year with some degree of excitement?
Yeah, so I think the mindset has to be, well, first of all, you have to have, I think you need some kind of structure, some kind of system. You're going to have some kind of support system, because if you don't have a support system, you can find yourself in trouble, or you may find yourself falling into a hole you can't get out of, right? And so my heart about people who are in this, especially now, that's what people are given to this seasonal affective disorder, I think it's what it's called, SAD, when there's not enough light and there's not enough if there's not enough daytime or not enough whatever they need, then they find themselves in a situation where they can't get out of the hole. So they need a support system. That's number one. Number two, I believe that you need to stay in, if you're a believer, you stay in the Word of God, and then you, if you are part of a believing community, then you be among them as much as possible, right? And then if you get, like, this is the time of year when people get sick, you get the flu, and COVID is lurking, right? So if you're ever by yourself, have people that's checking on you. I think we need connection more than we realize.
Absolutely.
We need connection more than we realize. So that, I would say the connection is the main thing.
I think you're totally right. It's funny how when we become isolated, that's really when all of those thoughts of doom and gloom and things will never get better end up becoming a part of us. But as soon as we can get out into the world and out amongst connection and community, the perspective can change, which I think is incredibly important. So let's talk about 2024. I'm not going to put you on the spot by, you know, everybody wants a prophetic word for 2024. That's not what I want to do. But what I do want to do is see, in your perspective, what should we prep for? Like, you know, we know, for instance, like, there are some things we know you don't need prophetic eyes to know, like it's an election year. So you already know that coming into that, there's going to be this incredible barrage of, you know, all kinds of things, propaganda from multiple sides, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think we need to be preparing for as we go into this very interesting year?
Well, from different perspectives, I've seen different. First of all, I was speaking to a prophet just recently, and he was telling me that 2024 is going to be difficult, not in the whole world. There's going to be an escalation of war. There's going to be adjustments being made in church, right? There's going to be, there's so much happening. One of the key things, though, is for the church, there's going to be attack on the Holy Writ. There's going to be attack on the Bible itself, where we're going to see people complaining and saying that the Word of God, or making accusations about the history of the Word and where we got the Bible from and all. You will see a lot more of that. Of course, you know, ending out this year, we've seen some stuff starting in terms of with the church and church leadership and accountability. That's going to be a huge thing, especially in the first and second quarter of next year, I believe. When it comes to the election, I really am getting a sense that in the election, we're going to see something that's unprecedented. We're going to see something that we have not ever, you know, how in 2016, at first we saw something, we're like, okay, that's crazy. In 2020, right, we see something else that was crazy, that led to the insurrection at the Capitol. I think in 2024, America is going to experience something that we've never really seen before, times three. Wow. I'm not saying it's going to be three times as worse. I'm saying there's going to be three specific incidents that's going to happen that we're going to go, oh my God, back to back to back. And I think on the one hand, you're going to see, matter of fact, I had a prophetic dream the other night, and it came in threes. In the first dream, there was my wife and I were standing in this, like, it was in a hotel. You ever been to a hotel where in the lobby there's a place where they put the continental breakfast and they rotate? So we were in there fixing, and there's a glass door, like you could see outside, and it was like a little mountainous landscape, and all of a sudden the mountain turned and it became a rock over us. And in the dream, I remember thinking to myself, in this prophetic dream, what in the world just happened? So I was caught with fear initially. But as I prayed into it, I realized that the Lord said the landscape changed. So he turned and became a covering for us. That's the first thing. So whatever it is that the landscape refers to the entire world. Something's going to happen. It's going to shift. The second thing I saw was like a tsunami of trouble. It was a tsunami of trouble that just came. It didn't come at me, but I could see it, and just, it just was going down the street and washing everything in its path. It doesn't mean that that's not necessarily physical trouble, but it's the kind of trouble that waters normally prophetically speaks to groups of people, large groups of people. So it seemed like there's some type of, something is coming, I believe, in 2024. And then the last thing was fear. Wow. There's going to be the people that have that has been through certain traumatic events. If you're not careful, they're gonna live their life in fear and trigger more trouble. So what my not warning, but my exhortation to us is to really pray into the trauma you've experienced and ask the Lord to deliver you from the fear of it. Because I believe in, now I'm speaking really spiritually, but all this is going to translate into stuff that's in the news. You will see a lot of stuff that's happening at the same time. Of course, there's the situation in Israel that's happening right now with Gaza. You're going to see that then with the election. There's going to be a big split in the Republican Party, huge split in terms of who you're supporting and where you're going. So that's all that's going to happen. So I see a lot of that coming. Yeah.
This is interesting.
I'm not prophesying. I'm just seeing things in terms of the way things are going to go.
Yeah, it's interesting. So to that end, again, and I asked before kind of what can people do to have hope? So in light of this, because what again is interesting is the last 3 years have seemingly had escalating difficulty. It's probably the best way to say it. Mm-hmm. And yet in there still are, you know, lots of good accomplishments, lots of good things that people are experiencing in the midst of all of this. So how can people feel encouraged about whatever good things are still supposed to come to them in the midst of these other things?
Yeah, so I think we're in a time now where your faith can't just be, I go to church and I get a word and I go home. People are going to have to intentionally feed themselves with the word of God. People are going to have to intentionally be in a position where they're intentionally choose. I have to choose what I'm going to believe. Mm-hmm. I posted recently two sets of biblical affirmations. One was 25, the other one was 15. So you have these 40 biblical affirmations. And I found myself having to not just read these, but to say them out loud to kind of strengthen where I am and what I'm doing, and to make sure that I'm in a place with God or where I know who I am in Him. Identity is going to be huge. Mm-hmm. Who do you identify? And I'm not saying identify as, but who do you identify with? Because the world, I think there's a coming apart. The world is going to be clearly the world, and the church is going to be clearly the church. There's going to be a group of people in the middle clamoring and making noise, but they're not going to be that important to the grand scheme of what God is doing. They're just going to be people who don't believe. Yeah, people who just don't believe in one way or another. They want to be a part of the world. They want to be a part of the church too. They want to stand it in the world and shout instruction to the church, or stand from the church and shout instruction to the world, but there's no love, there's no peace, there's nothing. They're going to be in the middle, but the church is going to be clearly the church and the world will be clearly the world.
That is incredibly powerful and yet very encouraging, because I think you are absolutely right. We have to figure out who we identify with and feel confident in that, because I think too often we don't. And when we don't, and we're trying to figure out who we are and who we identify with, it just kind of leaves us to be, you know, waffling one way or the other. All right. So before we go, I'm going to run here and run back. And that is to say, as we're trying to figure out who we identify with, what do we say to members of the church who have historically, because we've seen that, we see it happen, the names change, we talked about it in different, who have a tendency to turn on their own, let's just say that. Yeah. What do we do about that? Because to something that you said earlier, what can become painful is if you think you're associating with the right group of people and something happens and they flip on you, or they turn on you, or they turn on somebody who we hold dear, it then becomes hard to trust those people.
Yeah.
So what do we do in those spaces as the church when there are other people who are identifying as the church who are not behaving as we expect the church to behave?
So there's a lot in that. So I'm going to speak to you from this wise. So on the one hand, we have set up these markers that are supposedly identify what and who is spiritual and what's not. So we're thinking people are spiritual because of certain things, but the reality is Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore to such a one in the spirit of meekness, consider right. yourself lest you also be tempted. So here's the thing. So whenever there's failure, whenever there is scandal, whenever there may be a need for the Lord to chastise one of his own, the book of Romans says that every servant stand and fall to their master. And in the body, in any family, I remember when my father called my brother, said, come on in here, did you do that? And we all stand there watching, my father's going to chastise him. It's in the family, right? We don't look at him and say, oh my God, I thought. It's like, man, we go on and kind of console him.
Right.
We would say, man, what were you thinking? Mm-hmm. And he would say, man, I took a chance and I got caught, or man, you know, he may assert, I didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so as his siblings, we will be there to comfort him. You know what I'm saying? And I think what happens is when we look at this mark of spirituality, when things happen, when someone fails or when someone is accused of this scandal, then we get to know who's truly spiritual and who's not. Because it's not speaking in tongues, it's not shouting, it's not how well you can preach, it's not how big your church is, it's not how much you give, nothing matters, nothing marks true spirituality like how I respond to when someone is in trouble. It's one, if the Bible, Jesus said, they will know mm-hmm. you are my disciples by the way you love one another. So yes. Even the world watching us cannibalize our own, mm-hmm. it says to them, I can't trust those people, because if I ever go in there with my own struggles or my own sins, anything, they will kill me too. Right. You know, and I'm gonna say, so I think spirituality is the issue. The second thing is that we stop looking at Jesus as the model. The woman that was taken in the act of adultery, they brought her, and the testimony was, we caught her in the very act. Now, if Jesus being God, since Jesus it was God incarnate, you would have expected him to, number one, deal with the sin issue, then deal with these people who disrupted his meeting to bring this woman, probably scantily clad or not clad at all, to mm-hmm. into this church setting. But that's not what he did. He dealt with them first. He stooped down. He started writing on the ground. And I want to submit to you that the Lord is still writing on the ground.
Wow. Wow.
He's still writing in the dirt. He's still writing on the cobblestone. He's doing that because with the same Pharisaic mentality exists. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we don't hold our leaders or ourselves or accountable. But accountability the definition makes a difference. Accountability is not what we think it is. Right. Accountability, on the one hand, is we hold to the truth. We say this is right or it's wrong. On the one hand, okay, it's right or it's wrong. We designate, okay, that's wrong. He did that. Now, what does the Bible say? Well, we throw him away. You know, I made a joke on social media. If anyone is overtaken in a sin, this is modern flawed theology. Ye which are spiritual, ... kill them. Because our mentality is, if a person is overtaken in a fault and it's exposed, then we stone them to death. But we have to understand is we cannot have a stoner's mentality. We can't be a rock thrower mentality, because if that's the case, Jesus, the order of the Lord was, he that is without sin cast the first stone. And that disqualified every one of those leaders. And mind you, some of those men were senators, what we call senators today, because they were members of the Sanhedrin, no doubt. And right. that made them the top tier governing agency in Israel. We have to be careful. We're not, someone said to me, what about the people that were hurt by any kind of misconduct? Now we pray for them. We have mercy and compassion but we have mercy and compassion because the reality is, you're going to have people who are in this thing and they're wolves, right? In sheep clothing. But every sheep that gets it wrong is not a wolf. Every sheep that gets it wrong is not a wolf. A wolf is going to be a wolf, but every sheep that gets it wrong, and then sometimes God has to pull the cover off a thing to say, you know what? Okay, it's time to shut this down. It's time for us to deal with this. It's time for us to get this right. And as believers, I'm going to say this and I'll be done. We have to posture ourselves as students learning, not as judges, passing judgment and offering condemnation where compassion is necessary.
That is so good. That is so good. And that's a perfect space to kind of wrap this up, because I do think there's a lot that we can learn from that. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. I think it's been very, very special. And I imagine we'll be doing this some more very, very soon. So be on the lookout for it. Now, remember, you guys can, of course, follow all things Pastor Hart Ramsey at Hart Ramsey on the socials. He has been the social media pastor before it became popular. And he's very consistent. So make sure you guys are following him. Make sure you are subscribed to our podcast in all of the places that you are checking us out. And we want to hear your thoughts as well. So if you have thoughts, if you have comments, you have questions, hit us up on the socials using the hashtag Heart to Heart or Hart Ramsey, and or you can obviously reach him on the socials as well, and pose your question and we'll talk about it here on the air. Until next time, thank you guys for joining us, and make sure we get on course with Hart Ramsey.